sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to another expanded 30-minute edition of the Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Major League Soccer kicks off its 21st season on Sunday when all 20 clubs will be in action. This evening on the Sunny Side of Sports, we profile one of the league's veteran African players, Ghanaian midfielder Patrick Nyako of DC United, the MLS club based here in Washington. The 30-year-old Nyako was born in Kumasi, Ghana, a sports-loving area that's home to one of Africa's most popular football clubs, Asante Kotoko. Patrick played for another team in the Kumasi area, Kasamon FC. He says growing up, he was a good student and thought he would go to college in Ghana and perhaps study engineering. But things changed for Nyako when the former men's soccer coach at Virginia Tech University here in the United States, Oliver Weiss, went on a recruiting trip to Ghana. He saw Patrick's skills and offered him the chance to play in the USA. In an interview with the Voice of America, Nyako said his three seasons at Virginia Tech were a springboard to Major League Soccer.
After high school in Ghana, you got to wait out a year because of the grading system and everything to enter college. And during that year, I was waiting. I got an opportunity out of nowhere to go to Virginia Tech College. And then, it took a little bit of a process to get there. But once I was there, I had a good career at Virginia Tech. And, I was told I could make the jump into to playing professional soccer, which I had not thought about growing up. I liked soccer. I liked to play it, but never thought I would make it, professionally. So I eventually, left after my third year in college and got drafted to Chicago. My first few years in Chicago was great. We had a great team and everything. And then, we kind of hit a bad patch there. But like I said, after a while in one place, you tend to go through the motions, and I needed a change to refocus myself, and ended up in D.C. this year.
DC United acquired Patrick Nyako in January this year in a trade with the Chicago Fire. During his eight seasons with Chicago, Patrick made 196 appearances and scored 19 goals. He says he hopes DC United will contend for the MLS Cup in 2016. It's a trophy the Washington club has won four times, with its last league title in 2004. Overall, Nyako says the quality of play in Major League Soccer is improving and it's attracting more attention in his home country of Ghana.
It's gaining ground. I remember when I was growing up, it wasn't viewed as it is viewed now. It's American soccer was always, at the bottom, and no one, thought highly of it. But, it's easy now with the exodus of a lot of African players, and obviously some top talented European players coming here. It's really caught the imagination of the other people down there, and they follow it a little bit more. When I hurt my knee, I went back home, and I thought no one knew, because I kind of like to keep my business private and stuff like that. And you got a whole bunch of people asking you how your knee is doing, so. No, they are falling a little bit more now, and especially with more and more Ghanaians coming in the league, it's very popular down there.
Patrick Niako and DC United will officially kick off their season Sunday night when they play the host Los Angeles Galaxy in Southern California. While DC United has won four MLS Cups, the Galaxy has five, making Los Angeles the most successful MLS club. DC United and the Los Angeles Galaxy will both be trying to dethrone the Portland Timbers, which won its first MLS League title in 2015. The Timbers also feature a Ghanaian player, goalkeeper Adam Larson Kwarase, as well as Nigerian striker Fernando Addy. The 25-year-old Addy is from Lagos, Nigeria's commercial capital, and he's coming off a very productive 2015 season for Portland, during which he scored 15 goals.
Hey, g'day, mates. Remember me? This is the old sports emperor with a red-hot listening tip. That's right. Give a listen to my pal, the bright and lively Sunny Man on the sunny side of sports, right here on the Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoja here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM. Keep getting spotty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brillafm.net. I tell you this. It's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Mark Ouma joins us now on the Voice of America with a package of sports news. And Mark begins with Ethiopia being the biggest African mover in the latest FIFA World Football Rankings.
Ethiopia is Africa's most improved men's national football team, while Sao Tome and Principe has slipped by the widest margin in the world, according to the latest FIFA rankings released in Zurich, Switzerland on Thursday. Ranked 31st, Cape Verde Islands is Africa's highest placed team. African champions Ivory Coast are 36th, Algeria 37th, Ghana 41st, Tunisia 47th, Senegal 48th, and Egypt 53rd. The Democratic Republic of Congo is 58th, Republic of Congo 59th, and Cameroon 61st. In women's football, Tanzania hosts Zimbabwe at the start of the 2016 Africa Women's Cup of Nations qualifiers in Dar es Salaam today, Friday. Tomorrow, Saturday, Mali welcome Morocco to Bamako. Senegal engage Guinea in Dakar. Burkina Faso face Tunisia in Ouagadougou. And Botswana are at home to Mauritius in Lobatse. On Sunday, Libya hosts Egypt in Sousse, Tunisia, Algeria tackle Ethiopia in Algiers, and Zambia engage Namibia in Lusaka. In rugby news, Kenya face Russia as South Africa tackle Canada in their opening preliminary matches at the IRB 7 Series in Las Vegas, Nevada State in the United States of America today, Friday. Kenya will also play Portugal and New Zealand in other Group A preliminaries, while South Africa will encounter Wales and the United States of America in Group D fixtures. At the start of this fifth leg in the nine-leg series, South Africa are second in the overall standings with 69 points. Kenya is eighth with 42 points. Points, while Zimbabwe is 17th with 1 point. In Olympic news, A team composed of refugees from across the world will compete under the Olympic flag at the 2016 Rio de Janeiro Olympics in Brazil, the International Olympic Committee president Thomas Bach confirmed in Lausanne, Switzerland. The team will be selected and assisted with training and preparations by the IOC and will also be housed in the Olympic Village like all the other national teams. The Olympic flag will be raised and the Olympic anthem played in the event any of the athletes in this team of refugees wins a medal. This unprecedented initiative is about the Olympic movement showing solidarity with the worldwide refugee crisis. I'm Mark Ouma in Johannesburg, South Africa, wishing you all a sporty weekend.
Because this is Africa. Tamina, mina, eh, eh. Waka, waka, eh, eh. Tamina, mina, sakalewa. This time for Africa.
I'm very, 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 very excited. Ngijabulile.
Hola. Because this is Africa. Tamina, mina, eh, eh. Waka, waka, eh, eh. Tamina, mina, sakalewa. This time for Africa.
Sports? Hear about it first, right here on the Sunny Side of Sports.
Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Good to be with you.
Andrew, what's trending in the sports world on this Friday?
Well, about 16 or 17 years after she first became globally famous for her penalty kick that won the U.S. women's team, the World Cup in 1999, Brandi Chastain is back in the news because she's announced she's donating her brain to science after she passes away, hopefully not anytime soon, but down the road, she's going to donate her brain to science to study chronic traumatic encephalopathy, which is CTE. It's the concussion syndrome that happens when you have concussive head injuries over time that can cause things like memory loss, can cause
dizziness,
and eventually claim lives. A lot of U.S. football players, not soccer, but football players have passed away because of this. They're studying that very closely in the National Football League here in the U.S. But it's been focused primarily on men, so this is a big step for women. It's not just for professional sports women, but for collegiate sports women as well. Field hockey, soccer, other sports like that, women's hockey, those kind of things. So this is a big step forward. A lot of praise for her on social media about that.
Does Chastain feel girls and women are more susceptible to concussions on the soccer pitch?
I think it's something that they haven't really taken a look at yet. So I think that more than whether or not they're susceptible, I think for sure they are. They can face concussions, but this is a step forward to kind of determine that and to see how it compares to men and study the fact that women do have this syndrome as well.
I was looking at some of the newspapers in the USA today, and the Chastain story was picked up by two of the major papers, the New York Times and the Washington Post. And in the New York Times article, Chastain apparently told her son about donating her brain to science, and he's quoted as saying, "That's weird, Mom. Why would you do that?" And I should say Chastain is in good health.
She
right
is,
now.
Yes. And but the opposite reaction on social media, a lot of people saying this is a wonderful thing that she's doing. I think that any time someone makes the decision to donate their brain to science after they pass away, I think is a courageous decision. And that's certainly what social media is saying, especially because it's going to hopefully lead to cures or treatments for other people.
And there's some talk, Andrew, that the concussions among women in football could be linked to headers. The fact that maybe their neck and upper body musculature is not as developed as a male player.
Yeah, that's absolutely one of the things they're considering, one of the many questions that they have. And so this is hopefully going to answer some of those questions. But again, social media almost universally saying what a wonderful move, what a great thing that she's doing to try to advance the health of women's sports players.
Andrew, our Voice of America listeners can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, you just heard in that report a short time ago about the refugee Olympic team. There's going to be a team for political reasons or other reasons can't compete on behalf of their home country, so they're going to compete as a refugee team. And this has captured social media attention as well. Similar to the Brandi Chastain story, people saying this is a great move, very courageous on behalf of these athletes to compete even in the face of these political turmoils. And a courageous move on the behalf of the Olympics to say, even though you face problems, political problems at home and you've had to flee your country, that doesn't mean you're not an athlete, doesn't mean you can't compete and go on the world stage to try your best and try to win the gold.
Good move by the IOC, especially, as you mentioned, Andrew, in light of these refugee crises throughout the world.
Exactly. And just one of the things that social media highlights, and one thing that we often forget, is that these are people. I know that they're called refugees and they're fleeing, but they're still people, and they're still athletes. They're still people who have amazing talents. And so this is a great way to highlight that. And I'm hoping the team, and a lot of people on social media are as well, can rack up some medals. It would be a great achievement for them.
We had a story recently on the Sunny Side of Sports about a special training camp being set up in Kenya, especially for refugees to possibly compete at the Rio Olympics in August.
Yeah, and social media plays a huge role in that, not only publicizing these cases, but then letting people know as well that there are these kind of things. So if there are people out there who are fleeing and they are athletes, they can find out about these things and compete in them and train and hopefully make it all the way to the Olympics.
Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Thanks for joining us again, Andrew.
Absolutely. Thank you.
The Voice of America.
The International Olympic Committee's Executive Board held a three-day meeting this week in Lausanne, Switzerland. Among the issues discussed were Rio de Janeiro's preparations for the Olympic Games in August. There are more than a few concerns, including ticketing, the Zika outbreak, and severe water pollution. Joining us now from Rio with an update is our friend Luis Piazzet. Sporty Olympic greetings, Luis.
Sporty Olympic greetings, Sonny. Yes, the ticket came up this week, Pass. As the last Friday ended the Diving World Cup, qualifying for the Summer Games, near all the tickets put for sales were bought out. It was also a chance, according to the organizers, to make important tests. First, it was on the very swimming pool center newly built, where the Olympic Games will take place. 88 athletes jumped from as high as 33 feet for medals and qualification. Second, it was the first opportunity to see the Security Olympic Task Force at work. A total of 300 agents from the National Force, plus city and state police and fire officers, traffic agents, including the use of drones as a surveillance aid. A source told us that an intelligence team monitored 24/7 potential illegal ticket activities related to the Olympics, aiming to avoid what happened in the recent Soccer FIFA World Cup, a £58 million ticket racket. In the meantime, last Wednesday, 24th, the Associated Press distributed to the international media a note that we don't see a single line of it in any Brazilian media outlet, says the title of the note. Organizers of the Rio de Janeiro Olympics have decided to scrap assigned seat tickets in certain sections at some sports and venues, including the main stadium. On the same day, the House of Representatives in Brazil approved the final bill to become the Olympic Act after the sanction by the president. The act will secure 4% of the tickets for disabled people. We tried to hear the Olympic Committee Director of Communication responsible for ticketing. No reply. Until then, the sales have been done online since October last year. We spoke with a Paralympic athlete, very representative per se, Guilherme Borrajo, the only para-athlete in the Brazilian sitting voting team, who was athlete before becoming amputee of one leg in a bus accident, exactly when he was coming out of a match in Maracanã Stadium in 2008. Guilherme could be placed as a super athlete, compete volley, taekwondo, and Hawaiian canoe. Champion and gold medalist in many international tournaments with three Paralympics under his belt. Hear what he says about chances and obstacles he and the Brazilian team will face.
Thank you. My pleasure to speak for Voice of America's Sony Side of Sport. The Brazilian fans are very good. we can play for the gold. Our national city volleyball Paralympic team is very strong and confident. And our responsibility is the highest because we are 3 times Pan American champion. 2007 in Rio, 2011 in Guadalajara, Mexico, and 2015 in Toronto, Canada. 2 silver in the World Para Volley Championship in Oklahoma, USA, and again silver in Sarajevo Open. Now I talk about the obstacles. They are, first, the money put into Paralympics don't go directly to athletes. At least some should go. We need in order to keep training and living on the sport. Second, the mobility obstacles, the streets of Rio and place we need to assess, it is very hard to move around.
And this was my report, Luis Piazet from Rio for the Sunny Side of Sports.
You ask for it and we answer it. The Sunny Side of Sports is expanding our showtime on VOA Africa.
The Sunny Side of Sports spotlight shines this evening on Gabriel Mvumvure, a 28-year-old sprinter from Zimbabwe who was on the comeback trail after being hospitalized last year with kidney disease. Gabriel was a student athlete at Louisiana State University in Baton Rouge here in the USA, where he was a member of the track team from 2008 to 2011. Now Gabriel has his sights set on the IAAF World Indoor Championships later this month in the northwestern U.S. city of Portland, Oregon. And after that international competition, Mvumvure hopes to compete at the Rio Olympics in Brazil. The VOA's Daybreak Africa sportsman, Marco Uma, tells us more.
Former Africa Junior 100-meter and 200-meter champion Gabriel Mvumvure is the only Zimbabwean to qualify for the IAAF World Indoor Championships due in Portland, Oregon State in the United States of America in a fortnight. A beneficiary of the Worldwide Scholarships Initiative, Mvumvure recently triumphed in 60 meters in 6.64 seconds in Baton Rouge, Louisiana State in the United States of America to earn a ticket to Portland. He is on a comeback trail following a year out of action due to a life-threatening ailment. Mvumvure begins with a recollection of his experience last year.
I had a rough year last year. I was sidelined from track and field because of hypertension and chronic kidney disease. I was admitted in hospital. It was a rough year. All my life, I never spent a day in hospital, and it was basically a new experience for me. It's what my body had gone through. It was much harder to come back from it, you know, within a short space of time. In my workouts now, I'm smarter. I've always believed that setbacks could be huge comebacks, and stumbling blocks could be stepping stones. And right now, I feel like my stumbling block is a stepping stone because I've officially qualified for the World Indoor Championships. The last time I was there in 2014, I missed making the final by, I think, 2 spots. And whenever you make, you know, the least amount of mistakes, eventually you will win. So that's the same way I approached my race in Baton Rouge. I still believe that, you know, there's room for improvement, and as I polish things up, getting ready for World Indoor Championships, I think the times will come and I will get faster. My expectations is nothing less than gold. I know in the eyes of many it's impossible, but I also believe that I serve a great God. Nothing is impossible with Him. What is impossible with humans is possible with Him. I'm going for a gold medal. It is hard. I mean, if it was easy, everybody would do it. At the end of the day, there will be only one champion. There will be one crowd champion in Portland in the 60 meters, and I would love for it to be me. After Portland, really love to focus on 100 meters and 200. As Olympics this year in Rio, that would be a big one. I really want to qualify for Rio Olympics in the 100 meters and 200. Getting back my health, I'm getting back my groove, I'm getting back my speed. We'll see in Portland, March 17th to the 20th.
That was Gabriel Mvumvure, Zimbabwe's 2007 Africa Junior 100-meter and 200-meter champion, speaking in Baton Rouge, Louisiana State in the United States of America.
The Voice of America, VOA.
Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports, right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
What's better than the Sunny Side of Sports? More Sunny Side of Sports. Listen to our new expanded show now on VOA Africa.
Our African football guru, David Legg, says there were some surprises in recent CAF Confederation Cup action.
Some real shocks here, specifically for Accra United of Nigeria and Ajax Cape Town of South Africa, who are both out of the competition, despite the fact that they won their first legs away from home. Accra beat V Club Makanda of Congo Brazzaville 1-0 away, but they lost at home by the same score. And then the Nigerians lost a penalty shootout by 6-5. Ajax Cape Town of South Africa, they won 2-1 away to Sagrada Esperança of Angola. And they must have felt pretty comfortable knowing that a draw or even a 1-0 home defeat would still see them through to the round of 32. But 2 goals from Arsenio Kabangula, whose nickname is Love, but showed very little of it to the South Africans. He scored after 23 minutes and again in the final minute. So that final minute goal gave Sagrada a 2-0 victory on the day and a 3-2 triumph on aggregate. There was a great comeback by USFA of Burkina Faso. They were trailing 3-0 from their first match against Marrakesh of Morocco. They won the return match by the same score, only to lose the tie on penalties. So you have to say hard luck to USFA of Burkina Faso. A really dismal weekend, Sunny, for the Cameroonian clubs, both out at the preliminary round. New Stars Douala, they drew 2-2 at home with Renaissance of Chad. They lost 3-2 on aggregate. And UMS Loom of Cameroon, they drew 0-0 away to Deportivo Mongomo of Equatorial Guinea. Same score as the first leg. Penalty shootout needed, and it was the Equatorial Guineans who prevailed in that by 4-2. Congratulations to Harare City of Zimbabwe. Competing in Africa for the first time, they had a tenuous 3-2 lead going to Madagascar to play Adema. They fell behind in the first half, but came back really powerfully in the second half, scored 3 unanswered goals to win 3-1 and 6-3 on aggregate. Congratulations, too, to Nasarawa United of Nigeria. Now, they were also walking on the thinnest of ice with the sun shining, having only won 2-1 at home against Generation Foot, and they're a Senegalese second division side. Off to Dakar went the Nigerians. They forced a 0-0 draw, and so they advanced 2-1 on aggregate. More sad news for our Kenyan listeners. Bandari are also out. Bandari drew 1-1 at home with Lupopo from DR Congo, but went out 3-1 on aggregate. Better news for East Africa came from Villa of Uganda. They completed a creditable double over Khartoum of Sudan, winning both matches 1-0, so 2-0 on aggregate. And then we move on, Sunny, to the draw. This is the CAF Confederation Cup last 32 draw. V Club Makanda of Congo against Police of Rwanda. Esperanca Sagrada of Angola against Desportivo Maputo of Mozambique. Maludia Oran of Algeria against Gagnoa of Ivory Coast. Marrakesh of Morocco against Barak Young Controllers of Liberia. Wits of South Africa against Azam of Tanzania. Renaissance of Chad against Esperance of Tunisia. Harare City of Zimbabwe against Zanaco of Zambia. Gabassien of Tunisia against Kaloum of Guinea. Nasarawa of Nigeria against CS Constantine of Algeria. El Malakash of Egypt against Don Bosco of DR Congo. Lupopo of DR Congo against Al Ahly Shendi of Sudan. Al Ittihad of Libya or Sonidep of Niger against Mediama of Ghana. Mongomo of Equatorial Guinea against FUS of Morocco. Villa of Uganda against JKU of Zanzibar, Atletico Olympic of Burundi against Munana of Gabon, and finally Africa Sports of Ivory Coast against ENPPI of Egypt. As with the Champions League, the first legs will be on March 11, 12, and 13, and the second legs on March 18, 19, and 20.
Thanks, David. Thanks also to VOA engineer Mr. Chang. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.